Welcome to the Next Gen Work Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Ross. I help leaders support working parents so that they can recruit and retain the best people. Join me as I interview experts and provide insights into the struggles that parents and caregivers face in the workplace. Learn how your business can become a place where parents feel included, supported, and valued. Being a family-friendly business isn't just a nice to have anymore. For the next generation and those that are raising them, it is critical. Welcome back to the Next Gen Work Culture Podcast. Today, I am talking with Sarah Willoughby, the author of the book Infertility Saved by Life. And Sarah, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. It's great to be here.
Yes. And would you mind, for the listeners, telling us just a little more about you, who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm originally from the UK, but I moved over to Australia about 14, almost 15 years ago to begin a new life, which we will obviously get into. But my background is in corporate HR. So I spent 10 years working in the corporate world. And again, that's part of my story, how I moved out of that and into the work that I'm doing now. So today I work as a transformation coach, fertility coach. I'm an author, speaker, and energy healer. And I help people to connect deeply with self, to rediscover who they are, to create a beautiful life from the inside out. And I feel very blessed because I love the work that I do and I don't even see it as work.
That's wonderful. It's always great when you enjoy what you're doing. It's something that you clearly are passionate about. So let's talk a little bit about your story then. So infertility saved your life. How interesting. That's not something I think we would hear a lot of people say. So tell me about that. How did infertility save your life? Tell me about your journey.
Thank you. Yes. So As I mentioned, I was working in corporate HR. I was doing all the things. I'd spent 6 years at university. I'd worked my way up the corporate ladder. And I was living a life that other people expected of me and for me, and one that I had placed huge expectation on myself for. And I wasn't enjoying it, and I was too scared to leave, and I didn't know what else to do with my life. And I think a lot of people understand that journey. And at the same time, I was going on this crazy, crazy journey through secondary infertility, trying to complete my family. I had a beautiful little boy. And I wanted him to have a brother or a sister. And my journey just basically took me through a lot of loss and grief and trauma. It took me 2 years to conceive again. Then I had a missed miscarriage, which was very, very hard. I didn't even know what that was at the time. And then I went through lots of appointments and lots of prodding and poking and got to a point where I was told, if you want to have another child, you need to go through IVF. And I'd lost a lot of faith in the UK system because they'd made a lot of mistakes with my medical care. So I naively thought I would turn this IVF cycle into a holiday. So I booked myself to go to Norway to do the cycle and to then have a bit of a holiday during the dreaded two-week wait.
Yeah.
And it turned into anything but a holiday. It basically ended up with my body reacting very badly to the hormones and me ending up in ICU, facing my own mortality and watching my three-year-old son walk out of the hospital doors with his grandma to return home to the UK, not knowing if I'd ever see him again, because nothing that the doctors could do to stop my deterioration. They could only treat each symptom as it arose and hope that the process reversed itself. Wow. It was the most, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually excruciating experience of my life. The reason that I share my story, because I don't want anybody else to go through what I went through and other people go through. And I had a moment where I realized that it was up to me. And so it was an inside out job. It became a mindset battle to survive. Fortunately, I'd done meditation and mindfulness, and that was what got me through everything. When I was lying in ICU, I basically did a deal with the universe, and I just asked for help. Yeah. And I was like, if you give me a second chance at life, I will spend the rest of my life being of service. I will walk towards everything that scares me. I will live a life of no regret as much as I can and help other people to do the same. So obviously, fortunately, I did survive. Spoiler alert, I'm here. And I actually went back to Norway again to have a frozen embryo transfer. And that was all fine. It was safe. There's no hormones involved. And I fell pregnant with twins. And at the same time, we'd made a decision to start a new life in Australia. So we were in the process of emigrating over to Australia. We didn't know anybody. We had no jobs. We had nothing to come to. And we were leaving in the middle of a recession. So if we didn't make it work, then we couldn't actually go back.
Yeah.
We moved out here. And in that process, I lost one of the twins and then I lost the other twin. And I was absolutely devastated. So I had my frozen embryos now in Norway and they wouldn't release them. And I'd started a new life in Australia. But something magical happened when I arrived in Australia. I felt something energetically change within me and I felt like I'd come home. And within 6 weeks of being in Australia, I fell pregnant with my daughter, who is now 13, almost 14. And then 4 years later, I had my other beautiful little girl, who is 9, almost 10. And I never went back to the corporate world. So I began my own business and I went on this deep self-discovery journey and then started to incorporate everything that I had learned into the work that I do now. And part of that was, as you mentioned, writing my book, which shares my story. Very raw, very real. Just, yeah, nothing was off the table with it. I just wanted people to know this is what can happen, but this is how you can support yourself through it. So the second part's all the tools, techniques, wisdom, and insight that I learned along the way that helped me to complete my family naturally.
Yeah. Wow. What a journey. So there's so much to like unpack or ask there, but I feel like I love that you're sharing your story and like sharing all of the details, the raw, you know, what really happened, because I feel like that infertility is such a taboo topic. Oftentimes, yes, people who are going through it don't talk about it, even when it's, you know, when they're going through treatments or whatever. It's something that people just feel like they shouldn't share or they're not allowed to talk about. And it really shouldn't be that way. It's not like it's something you've done wrong or, you know, a contagious disease you're going to give to somebody else if you talk about it or something. You know, I think we need to normalize talking about stuff like this.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think for me, it was like it was a career killer. It was like, I don't want to let my managers know that I'm trying to have another baby, because then when promotions come up, I might not be considered for them. So a lot of women face that, sadly.
Yes.
And don't always get the support. But I agree with you that until we talk about it, particularly when you're going through IVF and all the hormones and how that impacts you in so many different ways, just to have a supportive boss by your side who understands what you're going through, it makes so much difference to people in the workplace. It really would.
Yeah, because a lot of people, if you haven't been through this, you just don't know about it, right? I mean, I'm fortunate that I didn't ever have to struggle with infertility, other than the, you know, trying to get pregnant took a little bit longer than we had hoped for initially, but I conceived both my kids naturally and didn't have to go through any of this. So even I don't really understand everything that goes into going through those cycles and all the doctor's appointments and everything that, you know, someone going through IVF or embryos or any of that has to struggle with. So I'm sure that there's a ton of managers, people, workplace leaders of all types that just don't know what is involved. And if you as the employee are kind of hiding it and not sharing anything, then they don't really know how to support you if they don't know, you know, what's going on.
Exactly. And I think the key message is just to let people know that you are absolutely at your most vulnerable, because you have put so much into an IVF cycle. From the point that you're at that stage, you've already been through so much. You know, you've already got all of that journey before you. You've probably experienced a lot of loss already and a lot of disappointment, a lot of appointments, a lot of trying medications that don't work but give you lots of side effects. So the point that you're at IVF, you're already pretty broken, to be honest, and pretty desperate. You want it to work so much, and it's not cheap. It costs, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, and people put themselves under a huge amount of financial pressure to, in the hope that IVF is going to be this miracle cure. And in reality, when you look at the stats, it's not, but that's what you believe. And you keep thinking, well, I'll just do one more cycle and one more. And I only did one because I couldn't do another one. I was told it would kill me if I did another one. But lots of women go through multiple cycles. And then you have that awful 2 week wait of wondering, is this going to work? And then having to go to work and realize that no, it hasn't, or potentially go through a miscarriage and you're back to square one. So there are just so many components, and having a manager that, even if they haven't been through it themselves and don't understand it, as within anything in life, if you haven't been through it, you don't understand. But just a willingness to hold space for somebody, a willingness to just check in and ask how you're going, and is there anything I can do to support you? Just knowing that makes all the difference. It really is very simple, just basic compassion and care. How you would treat somebody perhaps at times is who's just lost somebody they love. You know, it's that level of grief that they're already experiencing at various points in the IVF journey, or even before that, when they're going through other treatments before they get to that stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about compassion and empathy, right? We need leaders who are empathetic and can care about their employees on a personal level, not just what they're doing at work.
Yes.
So I know that you said most of your, or well, once you kind of got out of your role that you were in and you moved and kind of had this new life, that, you know, things started happening naturally for you. And so do you feel that a lot of your infertility was based on your stress, all of these mental blocks almost going on when you were still working full-time in corporate?
Yeah, look, I don't think it helped. I don't think any of my stress levels helped, but I was definitely stressed when I conceived my son. So I was very stressed when I had just emigrated over, you know, the buildup of emigrating over to the other side of the world and not having anywhere to live and not knowing anybody and all the financial pressure. So it wasn't that I wasn't stressed at that point either, but I think it was a combination of, I've got PCOS, so I've got an underlying medical condition, and that impacts my hormones in different ways. I think there was an impact of that. I think there was an impact for me. It was about letting go, which is, and just surrendering to life and realizing that my mindset did play a part in that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And learning how to be present in my own life, because I realized that I was so focused on the future that I was missing out on what was actually really happening in my life. And so when I learned those basic life skills, and meditation and mindfulness were a huge part of that journey for me, I definitely believe that that changed something within me. But I know for a lot of women, they do get told that, you know, oh, just relax. And that is the worst thing you can say to somebody who is trying to conceive. Just relax. You feel like you want to slap them over the face in, you know, in the nicest possible way. But so there's definitely things that you can say and shouldn't say to somebody who is trying to conceive, whether they're trying to conceive naturally or whether they are already at that point of going through treatment. So, and if you don't know what to say, ask, you know, how can I support you? What's helpful for you right now? Is it something that you want to share with the team so that they understand, or is it something you want to keep private? You know, speak to the person that you're dealing with in the workplace and just be honest and vulnerable with them and say, hey, this isn't something that I understand, but I'm willing to learn.
Yeah, and not being afraid to ask those questions, not be prying and trying to get personal, you know, information that somebody doesn't want to share, but also just being willing to ask their story, ask what's going on, ask if you can support them and learn more about what they're going through, if they're willing to share, so that you know how to help. You know, is there anything that I could do to help? Or do you just need me to say, I understand, I can, you know, empathize that you're going through something really difficult, really challenging. I have never been there personally myself, but I want to, you know, support you any way that I can.
Beautiful. Yeah. And if somebody had said that to me during my journey, that would have gone a long way. And I was lucky that when I was going through the end of my journey before I emigrated, I did have a very beautiful boss who I'm still friends with today, actually, even though she still lives in the UK. Yeah. And then she went on her own fertility journey. So it was really interesting how at the time she was being really supportive to me, not knowing that this then became something that she was going to go through. So the universe works in crazy ways and, you know, it all happens for a reason. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's great that you had somebody that was supportive of that, because it could be really challenging when you're trying to work under somebody who's not supportive, or who is getting frustrated at how much time off you're having to take to go to appointments or to take a shot at a certain time of day or things like that.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you feel like managers or workplaces, like how can they help somebody going through this journey other than just, you know, listening to their story and being supportive? Is there anything else that employers or businesses or managers can do to kind of help with infertility?
I think on a business level, organization level, corporate level, I think there's people out there who go into the workplace and offer training for managers in this space. So if there is somebody in your local area that does that, I know a beautiful lady in Australia here who works with organizations on workplace fertility and shares her personal story to help managers understand what she's gone through and how that they can be supportive. And to realize that on the other side of this fertility journey, you've got a great employee who you want to encourage to come back into the workplace if they fall pregnant and have a child and are blessed to go on that journey. You want them to come back and to feel supported and be able to continue to be motivated and productive. If they have a negative experience now, you're either going to lose them out of the workplace entirely, or you're going to have somebody who's going to come back very begrudgingly from maternity leave and not want to be there. So there is a longer term goal for people. It's mutually beneficial if you want to look at it from a kind of business perspective. So so definitely pull on those resources. There are organizations that offer support to people, but you can also ring up and ask for support in terms of, you know, what can I say? How can I support if the organization itself doesn't necessarily offer that support? So it really just comes down to a willingness to want to try and just to sort of start to educate and understand the statistics around how many people are impacted. And when you know that, you know, 1 in 6 people are impacted by infertility, 1 in 6 people globally, or 1 in 7, depending on the stats that you look at. And 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. So you look around the office, if you've got an office of, you know, or an organization of 100 people, there's going to be a number of people in there that fall into this category in some way.
Yeah.
And also I want to just mention too that it's not just about the woman. It's also about their partner.
Yeah.
And their partner is just as impacted by going through all of these treatments, walking alongside somebody on their infertility journey, and then maybe it resulting in a miscarriage at the end of it all. And so in Australia here, we now have miscarriage leave, and it recognises the impact it has on both partners, which is fantastic. And so there is time away to grieve for the baby that you believed you were going to have and then unfortunately have lost. And I hope that other countries and companies around the world start to look at that and embrace that and realise that this is impacting more and more people. As the generations go on, it's not going to go away. Yeah. We can continue to bury our head in the sand and make it awkward. But it is just another part of the body that isn't working properly. And if we can start to talk about it, as you mentioned at the beginning of our chat, if we can start to talk about it, we can remove the silence and stigma and shame surrounding it. And we really can help people and impact their mental health in a positive way.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. And I think that is probably a pretty good place for us to end, to wrap up. Is there anything else that you want to share about your journey or anyone else who maybe is going through this journey before we end?
I just like to say that if you're going on this journey, please feel free to reach out, say hello, connect with me online. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. Search my name, you will find me. And I can always put you in touch with other people that I know around the world who work in this space, who support people. And, you know, we're in this together. It's all about, we're all connected at the end of the day. We're all struggling with something in some way. And if I can help anybody in any capacity, I will. So please know you're not alone.
Well, thank you. And I'll be sure that I add all of your links in the show notes as well, in case anybody wants to just click down there, and that'll make it a little easier. And thank you so much today. It's been such so wonderful to talk to you, Sarah.
Thank you for holding space for me to share my story. Thank you for the work that you're doing and all the support that you're giving people in the workplace. So, yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And likewise. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please take just a moment to leave a rating in your podcast player and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, take care.